She reduces, reuses, and recycles. She talks the talk and walks the walk. She doesn't tell you what to think. She just wants you to. She's Mrs. Green. And this is Mrs. Green's World on the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network. And now, Mrs. Green.
Welcome, everybody. You are indeed listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. Happy New Year once again, everybody. This is the second show of our new year. And I just have to take a little deep breath here and say it's going to be a great year at Mrs. Green's World. We have outstanding guests lined up for this year again, and they will hopefully get us all to think about really important issues impacting our planet and in turn our lives. I want to thank the sponsor of this show today, Goodwill Industries of Southern Arizona. Their business is about changing lives through training and employment. So remember, when you're getting rid of stuff, think Goodwill, not landfill, because they turn all of your stuff into programs that support the underemployed and unemployed. They're just a great organization, and they have great stuff to buy. So we'll be talking about that a little bit later, too. So speaking of outstanding guests, I want to give time to introduce this guest properly. I'm thrilled to be welcoming Rachel Lincoln Sarnoff. She's the author of the blog Mommy Greenest, which I love. She is a word-stored extraordinaire of clever, clever titles. Rachel is a journalist and former CEO of Healthy Child, Healthy World. She was editor of Children Magazine before she had three of her own. And not to be sleeping at all, the designer of Bird in the Hand Upcycled Accessories and author of The Big List of Things That Suck. Rachel has been featured in Los Angeles and Lucky Magazine and has appeared on the Today Show and CNN Headline News, among others, and now on Mrs. Green's World. Rachel, welcome. A warm welcome to you.
Thank you so much. I'm so excited to talk with you again. It feels like it was yesterday, and then, gosh.
It does feel like yesterday.
Months and months and months.
I know. We talked a little bit off air before the show, and I said, were you on when I was on the Clear Channel? And if I don't remember, how can you remember? Because you have a lot of things going on in your life, including kids. So let's really get on with the show, because I want you to do most of the talking. And I'd like to start with the somewhat longer Reader's Digest version of your journey, back from your days in college to where you are today, and we'll expand on that. But you're in a very important role now as Mommy Greenest.
Thank you. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, as with anything, it's really a process. It's funny, I was speaking a couple of months ago at my 12-year-old daughter's school. In her, you know, she has like a sustainability class, and I was telling them how there's never been one kind of, you know, it's not like a highway that you get on and you go,
exactly,
you know, from A to B. You know what I mean?
Right.
It's more like a journey through a very large neighborhood. So I started, my dad taught Native American studies at UCLA. So, you know, this was beginning in the 60s and then when I was growing up in the 70s and 80s. And so I grew up kind of, I guess, in kind of a hippie way. You know, we grew a lot of our own food. I used to thank the plants when I would, like, you know, we would cut a flower and I would thank the plant. You know, that's like a Native American, you know, tradition and for some tribes. And, you know, so I learned kind of a lot of these sort of respecting the earth kind of things naturally just from childhood. And I kind of thought of myself as that kind of person until I was pregnant with my third child. And I was actually doing PR and marketing, and I went in for a meeting with Healthy Child, Healthy World to talk with them about helping that organization, which, you know, I'm not sure if your listeners are familiar with it, but it's healthychild.org, and it's been really educating parents for, gosh, I think 26 or 7 years, I don't know, a long time, about reducing toxic chemical exposures in the home. So, you know, imagine me having, you know, grown up thinking plants, called myself flower in college, you know, already had two kids, like thought I knew everything. I was, you know, eating organic food and blah, blah, blah. And I'm 9 months pregnant and I go and I sit down in the executive director's office. His name is Christopher Gavigan. And he basically just blew my mind. I mean, I had no idea of the toxic chemicals in cleaning products. I had no idea, you know, building materials, carpets, paint, you know, things that were so easy for us to avoid. And we just, you know, sort of as a culture, and me in particular, I just really didn't know.
Not even so, think about, like not even necessarily avoid, but not even be conscious of.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And I think, you know, I think it's because we, you know, we believe marketing, you know, we believe like somebody says this paint is safe. We're going to say, okay, our government is protecting us, you know, in that way. And I no longer really believe that's true. I'm not a conspiracy theorist, you know, at all. I mean, I completely believe and love and trust our U.S. government. I think it's, you know, it's the best country in the world to live in. Absolutely, 100%. However, I also think that, you know, for some, in some cases, manufacturers have not necessarily had the health of, especially our children, in mind when formulating products to sell to the American market. So that was a big turning point for me, Healthy Child, Healthy World, and becoming involved with that organization first in marketing, and then I ended up having the privilege of being their executive director. And now here I am.
And now here you are. And when you come up with, and I don't want to underestimate the power of your word steward ability, do you want people to be mommy greenest? I do, so I'm not putting you on the spot, but what does that mean to you for someone to be mommy greenest?
Yeah, it's funny. I actually use that term with a grain of salt because I don't think anybody can be effed anything, you know? And I think saying to people that you have to be 100% something or the other is really doing all of us a disservice. And I think that's really the reason I started Mommy Greenest is I feel like there's been a lot of finger pointing in the, you know, green world. And, you know, you can't call yourself green because you don't drive a Prius, and you can't call yourself green because you don't offset your airline flights. I don't know. But for me, you know, I have three children, which is honestly probably, if you look at it in the big picture of your carbon footprint, probably the worst thing you can do. But in a million years, I wouldn't give up my three beautiful children. And I don't think any other parent would. And you know, you can say that about similar things too. You know, I think you have to be aware of what you can do and also be aware of your limitations. And so, you know, when I call myself Mommy Greenest, I also point out that I drive a very large car, you know, and I live in Los Angeles and I have three kids. So certainly there are places where I could be greener. And I try every day to do that, just like everybody, you know?
That's one of the most important parts of your message, because to me, you say in the now it's an ebook we'll get to about the big list of things that suck, don't be a sustainable bully. And that shuts people down. I mean, we don't really want to do that. And like the tagline for my show, we want you, you know, we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to, because come from a place of respect. But another phrase that puts a true, not spin, but gives people the understanding of the place from which you come is the tagline, "We guard the nest of the world." What a powerful, impactful message embedded. You know, I told you when I read that, I went, oh, I can't even explain the sound that escaped me as a mother.
Thank you
so
much.
So expand on that message. That's more about what your message is as a guardian of our children and the planet.
Yeah. So one of the amazing people who has been involved with Healthy Child for a while now is Dr. Alan Green, who is, oh my goodness, I can't remember the hospital that he's at. I think it's Berkeley. Anyway, he's in Northern California, but he has an online presence, drgreen.com, and he really has been such a leader in the, you know, more conscious, greener pediatrics movement.
Right.
And I had the privilege of listening to him speak a few years ago, And he described, which actually he told me later, this is not a phrase that he came up with. Other people have used this in the past, but I was like, oh, Dr. Green, this is the most incredible thing I've ever heard. He's like, yeah, I didn't make it up. But anyway, so he said, you know, children are like the canaries in the coal mine.
Yes.
And that analogy is really, you know, comes from those old coal mining days when they would put a little bird in a cage and put it down into the mine. And if there were enough toxic fumes in the mine, the bird, they would pull it up and the bird would be dead.
Right.
So his analogy was that in this world where, you know, pediatric cancer is up 30%, autism affects 1 in 88 children, asthma infects 1 in 10, impacts 1 in 10 children. You know, childhood leukemia is just horrific and increases yearly, that those children are really telling us something, and they're telling us that we need to clean up our world, you know, that we have toxic substances in our world that we are not doing a great job of controlling, and we have to do a better job. And the sad thing to me was the idea of those children and that bird. It made me cry. So
it would have made me cry.
About,
I
know,
guarantee it. It's so powerful. It's like, I know, it's like, okay, I'm not going to cry in the air. I have
right.
in the past, but it's a beautifully and more people should cry. Talk about Native American philosophies. We cry for all the people that can't. So get over it.
Yeah. So anyway, I was just, you know, I was thinking about moms and birds, and I thought, you know what? We're the nest. We make the nest. We moms make the nest. And the nest is really the only place where we can control what goes in. And, you know, the rest of our world we don't have a ton of control over, but we can certainly control our nest. We can certainly control our home. And so that's where, you know, that's where Mommy Greenness started, was with that idea.
It's a gripping
moms,
metaphor. Yeah.
Especially.
Helping
Thank
moms.
You.
Okay.
Thank you.
Now, speaking of great titles, and I would really like to go into this for a lot of the show, because I think just a little thing that I wanted to share, a friend of mine, a very dear friend, is a pediatric neurologist, and she's writing a book. And the thing I have to say, like, she carries a sadness about her because she deals with children very, very, you know, from birth, little mm-hmm. children with pediatric, mm-hmm. you know, neurological issues. And she said, the last time I spoke to her, that when a baby is born, they have 267 toxins, identifiable toxins in their bodies. So that's, you know, to me, when I got all excited about you coming on again, there's such a big, huge mission that you have for our children that we all have in guarding the nest. So let's talk about the big list of things that suck. You have great sense of humor.
Oh, thank you. But, you know, actually, before we go there, I mean, you know, just to a little caveat about that fact, the 200 toxic chemicals that the babies, basically how they came up with that is they took cord blood and right. they tested it. But they only tested it for a specific number of chemicals. So actually, there could be more industrial chemicals in our baby's blood when they're born.
And they probably are.
These are the ones that they tested for. We as, you know, Americans are exposed to 200 toxic chemicals every single day of our lives. And so, you know, where they used to think, like, you know, the placental barrier and, you know, the babies are protected, you know, it all crosses through. In fact, some of what we do now, like meat is a great example. So dioxin is a carcinogen that's found in animal fat. And just as a little aside, I am not a vegetarian. I'm a flexitarian, which, you know, I eat meat occasionally, and when I do, eat it organic, you know?
I love it.
But I wouldn't tell anybody what to eat, and I don't, you know, I don't say, like, again, it's not about, you know, you're bad for something or you're good for something. That's really, I'm not interested in that at all. But what I am interested in learning more about are things like dioxin. So dioxin is a byproduct of the chemical industry, and it bioaccumulates, meaning it goes into the animal fat. We eat the animal fat, and then it is stored in our fat. And then when our children are born, the dioxin that we have absorbed goes into their fat. And then actually what they're finding now is it's two or even three generations. So those, you know, not to like freak everybody out completely, But, you know, I think given that information that maybe less meat, you know, maybe not the traditional American diet of, you know, meat twice or even three times at meals, maybe less meat is something we should look at, you know, things like Meatless Mondays or, you know, vegetarian a couple days a week, or some people are just eating meat on weekends. I eat it maybe once a month. But yeah, just, you know, just like food for thought.
And
no
it's
pun
a huge,
intended.
But there's a whole spiral of the carbon impact, the environmental impact when you do decide to do a Meatless Monday, because collectively that helps create the shift that we all need to, you know, be engaged in to get us back to a healthier planet and a healthier you and healthier children. So in the big list of things that suck, I want to say this quite a bit throughout the show. It's available for a very affordable ebook on Amazon. It's like, I think, $2.99.
I didn't publish that book as a moneymaker.
Right, obviously.
it's really fun. I mean, you know, it. So when I published Eco Stiletto, which I did for about 6 years, I think, there was a section on Eco Stiletto called The Big List of Things That Suck, and people loved it. And
right.
People could email me things like, you know, you should add this sucky, or you should,
right. Or
you know,
does this suck?
Yeah, or like, does this, you know, and I would add things and I would add to it. And then I started writing words like, you know, sustainably, which is one of my favorite words now. And, you know, I started like making things up and adding them to this kind of encyclopedia, because I wrote it, so I can do it. It's not meant to be like a, what is the encyclopedia line of the
Encyclopedia
line?
Britannica? I don't know, but it
yeah,
is.
Yeah, it's not a Britannica, right? So anyway, so then when I shifted everything over to Mommy Greenist last year, there was really no room for that. And I thought, you know what? It really should be a book. It should be something that people can have on their shelves. And it's kind of funny. And, you know, they can read it or they can turn to it. Or like if, you know, they hear, like, for example, if we're talking about dioxin on this show and they had that book, they could flip it open and look up dioxin. You know, it's all alphabetized.
Right. And say, what was that again? Like, I know she was talking about something and it started with a D. It's really important because we're so barraged with information. So that's a really good one. But let's go to some examples in the book so people get a sense for how easy it is. I love, if we can talk about in this segment and the next segment, some of the three biggies to me are personal care products, a huge one for me, cleaning products, food. But you start in the book with a great example of something we all have in common, which is buying clothes. And that, so your whole example about cotton and how the powerful impact of our purchasing can shift the world by just the purchase of one shirt, organic versus not. So you want to just, it was a great story to tell so people can relate.
Yeah, and now I'm gonna have to like flip to the book. No, I'm just kidding. So you know, the thing about cotton is it's the fabric of our lives, you know. But it really, if you think about all the things that are made from cotton, it's not just our clothes, it's our sheets, it's our towels, it's our, you know, it's just it's everything really in our home.
We touch it every day in every way.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And yet, you know, it's a pretty toxic industry. So the EPA basically has indicated that 5 of the 9 pesticides used in cotton production are known carcinogens, so they cause cancer. And then sort of on a more, you know, toxic planet kind of concept, cotton production basically uses 10% of the world's pesticides and 25% of the world's insecticides. So it's a lot of toxic chemicals going into the earth to produce it. And then there's also the fertilizers, and, you know, it's just sort of it gets bigger from there.
It's a filthy industry.
Yeah,
really,
you know.
I mean, you like to put it out there, so do I. You know what? We're going to have to take a short break, and we come back. Let's pick up on the cotton thread. How do you like that one for a perfect segue?
Yeah, oh, that was good.
Yeah,
well
really
done.
Good. I like it. And everybody, you're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. And if you are like me, you're enjoying every word of Rachel Lincoln Sarnoff, author of the blog Mommy Greenest, and author of the ebook, The Big List of Things That Suck. Please stay here with me. It's going to be a fun rest of hour. Hi there, this is Mrs. Green. Fuel efficiency is picking up speed thanks to the new 48 turbocharged miles per gallon Volkswagen Jetta Hybrid. When you hear numbers like 48 highway miles per gallon and 42 city miles per gallon, you might think the Jetta Hybrid is more about fuel efficiency than fun. But for all its good looks and eco-responsibility, this Jetta gets its power from a turbocharged engine capable of 170 horsepower. And when you experience its ultra-fast 7-speed DSG automatic transmission, you'll realize that the Jetta has a lot more going on under the hood than your average hybrid. Yes, this new Jetta is quick and fun to drive, but it's still got the incredible efficiency you'd expect from a hybrid. How fuel efficient is it? Well, all you need to do is look, because each VW hybrid shows your energy usage and driving range on its touchscreen display. When you see how much fuel you're saving, you'll be pleasantly surprised by how economical this little speed demon can be. Please visit Chapman Volkswagen at 4500 East 22nd Street in Tucson or ChapmanTucson.com to find out more.
Bookman Sports Exchange is now open at 3330 East Speedway. We're taking our passion and experience of buying, selling, and trading books and music and applying it to the world of sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear. We are giving you another way to save money on the things that you love. Bookman style. Remember, Bookman Sports Exchange. Sporting goods, outdoor, and fitness gear now open daily from 9 a.m. to 10 p.m. on Speedway east of Country Club. Check out bookmans.com for more info.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we're having so much fun giving you important things to think about. My guest today is Rachel Lincoln Sarnoff. Rachel is a journalist, a mom, the former CEO of Healthy Child, Healthy World. She was the editor of Children Magazine. And is that is not enough. Rachel is the designer of Bird in Hand Upcycled Accessories and the author of The Big List of Things That Suck. If you just joined us, that's what we were talking about. It's a list of things that really do suck, an easy to follow guide to help you lead a healthier life, create a healthier environment, and really be the guardian of the nest. So Rachel, let's talk about cotton. It is the manufacturing industry is really filthy. It's just a good word to use. There's hope for it being cleaned up. But talk about the purchase of a cotton organic shirt versus a regular one.
Yeah, so, you know, as we were talking, we talked a little bit about the impact of that industry. So I think, you know, and this kind of goes to something that I know you talk about often is that, you know, consumer power. I mean, if we all decided to buy organic cotton instead of regular cotton, the price of organic cotton goes down. More regular cotton manufacturers shift over to organic cotton because that's where the business is. And we end up with a, you know, a world that has far less pesticides, insecticides, and chemical, you know, fertilizers in it. You know, I mean, it really works. It's such an interesting idea, but I think it's something that people don't really think about, the impact of what they buy and how it really can change things in a really dramatic way.
No, and I'm working on a food series coming up in the spring, and it's like people are in, I use the phrase, a food coma, which I feel like I was in. And then once you wake up, you realize the power that you have. And let's talk a little bit about that, because it is part of the big list of things that suck. How much power do we have, and is your target demographic women? Because I want to sing that song, you know, we've got the power, because we do.
Yeah.
It's more important to understand that than to lobby for legislation, in my opinion.
Yeah, well, it's sort of, I mean, it can go hand in hand. I mean, you know, to your first point, you know, yes, we do have the power as women, because women make, and this is, I didn't make this up, this comes from our federal government statistics, women make 85% of the buying decisions in this country. So 85 cents of every dollar a woman controls, and that's a huge amount of money. So we need to take that responsibility, you know, seriously, I think.
I think so, too, and it can't be that easy.
But the thing, you know, about the regulation, so I think a great example of this is what happened with GMOs and Cheerios. So I'm not sure so, you know, I don't know if your listeners have been following kind of this GMO fight, but it was huge in California. And I think they estimated that, you know, what it comes down to is the people who want GMOs to be labeled, they're not talking about regulating GMOs, and they're not talking about restricting GMOs. All they want is for GMOs to be labeled. So to put on the label, as in Europe, right? In Europe, if you have a GMO ingredient in your food, it says GMO ingredient. So we don't have to do that here. And you know, 80% of the food on our shelves, maybe more, is GMO right now, and we don't really know about it. So the people who want it to be labeled versus the companies who manufacture the products with GMOs in them, and also specifically Monsanto, which manufactures most of the chemicals that are involved with GMO production, and also the seeds themselves, or manipulates the seeds themselves. Those two, you know, those basically are the two forces. So one is for labeling and one is against. So in California, I think they were outspent like 3-1 or something by the...
It was ridiculous. You know, the numbers were staggering because...
Yeah. It was a huge fight. And then when it went on to Washington, and it was a similar thing there. So what that says to us, you know, is that it's really hard to win a ballot measure when you are up against such sort of infinite funds, you know, because people really are influenced by the amount of media that something can get and the amount of media that an organization can buy. You know, the more we hear about something one way or the other, the more inclined we are to vote in that direction. And so it really, I think it really showed that clearly, because, you know, if you look at the statistics, I think it's now, they did a New York Times poll, and I think it's 90 or 95% even of Americans nationwide want labeling of GMOs. So we want it as a nation, and then when it comes down to the state level, we're just outspent on the initiatives. But what comes out of that is last week Cheerios announced that they would no longer use GMO ingredients. And that's not because of any legislation. That's because Cheerios, or General Mills, saw what happened with these fights and saw how much Americans really want that type of labeling. And so they're kind of jumping the gun on the legislation, you know?
And you talk about goosebumps.
That,
you couldn't have brought up a better example to me. And I think I put on my Facebook page something really heavy duty, like picture Mrs. Green jumping up and down and clicking her green heels. Because I was so happy, and it is the quintessence of what you're talking about, the power of the people. Because the way that came about, from what I understand, was absolutely this little not well-publicized Facebook page where people could comment, and they were deluged with comments. So General Mills is not stupid. They're going to where the consumer already is. Would you agree with that assessment?
Yeah. I mean, the same thing happened with Johnson & Johnson's baby shampoo. You know, there was an ingredient in Johnson & Johnson's baby shampoo, no more tears, gentle, you know, in quote marks, baby shampoo that released formaldehyde. And formaldehyde is obviously something you don't want to be putting on your baby's skin or hair.
On their head.
And so, So when that came out, you know, it was basically a big public drive to encourage them to take it out, and they did. So I think, you know, initiatives like this work. And don't give up on legislation. I mean, yes, you know, TSCA, which is our toxic chemical you know, regulation.
Right, watchdog.
Law.
Yeah.
You know, it was enacted in 1976, and it has been utilized to ban, now let's just wait for it here, five. They've banned five.
I'm not doing a big drum roll here.
Since 1976. So, you know, that's not so great news. You know, and to give you a good example, you know, of that, sort of where that, like where we come into play compared to other countries. So in Europe, for example, there are 1,300 toxic chemicals used in beauty products that are banned. So 1,300. And in America, there are 11 banned from beauty products. So there's, you know, there's really a disconnect, you know.
You think, but I mean, it's just like, let's press pause here. Do people just repeat that statistic again? Because every time I read it, I'm like, what the heck is wrong? If it's not about the money, it's about the money.
Yeah, well, yeah, 1,300. And that's why you get things like, you know, for years, nail polish made in the United States was made two ways. One, without DDP, which is a toxic chemical that has been linked to birth defects. So DDP was banned in Europe. So they would make, you know, American nail polish manufacturers would make two of the same thing here, one for use in Europe, and they would export it, and it didn't have DBP in it, and then one here in the United States that did. And I've always thought about that, like, doesn't it cost more just to delineate those manufacturing processes? Like, wouldn't it make sense just to
just not,
you know,
include
do it
them
all
in
at
the
once?
First place? Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I'm not a manufacturer.
Neither,
so
but
I
doesn't
don't know,
that
but
make
yeah.
you angry? Like, when I first read that, I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. So we're getting the dregs and probably charging more, and it's harmful because, folks, when you put it on your nails, it's absorbed into your skin. So it's not, and you're breathing it, and the beat goes on. I mean, it literally makes me sick figuratively and physically to even think about it.
Yeah. I mean, nail polish, you know, again, it's, you know, not everybody has it on their nails every day. You know, we're all adults. We can make our choices, blah, 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 blah. But when it comes to things like a good example of this are artificial food dyes, which, again, in Europe, they have to be labeled. So if there's something on a label that has an artificial food dye in it, or something in something that has an artificial food dye, it has to say on the label artificial food dyes. And that's because those food dyes have been linked to hyperactivity, you know, behavioral problems in children. You know, they're really pretty crappy stuff. So when those food labeling laws went into effect in Europe, companies like Nestle reformulated all of their candy for the European market with things like carrot extract for orange and, you know, like really great
things that come from nature.
Yes. And then continued to send the candy with the, you know, with the artificial food dyes to the United States. So
with things
that
suck. Let us say that. With things that suck.
Yeah, that definitely sucks.
It really
does. Because, you know, you think like, like, you're a mom, and you're like, ah, a little candy won't hurt them. You know, I was eating candy. Well, you were eating candy, and that's fine, but you weren't eating foods with as many toxic chemicals in them as our children are.
Guaranteed.
When you're eating packaged foods.
Guaranteed.
You know, and you certainly weren't eating GMOs, and you weren't, you know, it's just, there's a wonderful speaker and really, like, visionary in the food industry, Robin O'Brien. She has a nonprofit called Allergy Kids. And she was a food analyst, and so, which means that, you know, she worked for a lot of these big companies, analyzing trends and, you know, looking at data, blah, blah, blah. So her fourth child had a really horrific, almost killed her allergic reaction to food when she, I think, was a year. And Robin started looking into allergies, which, you know, again, allergies are affecting so many children
now. Millions,
you know, it's,
millions.
Yeah, millions of kids. So she started looking into allergies, and the rate of the increase of allergies in this country, especially in children, correlates directly with the increase of pesticide use in our food. So it's really like you know, as an analyst, she was like, wait a minute, you know, this is very clear that there is a link between what we're putting in our food and what reactions we're having as a you know, culturally, really, as the American culture is now, like, who has allergies, you know? I mean, I don't know about you, but when I was a kid, everybody had peanut butter sandwiches, you know?
Everybody.
And now you can't send a peanut butter sandwich to school because a kid in the room could go to the hospital because
it blows
of that
my mind.
Reaction.
That one is the big, huge mind blower and might be on the list of, I don't know. Don't get me started. Keep going. You're on a roll and I'm getting so agitated about the things you're bringing up. It's like, this is the purpose of Mrs. Green's World, everybody. You better be listening to Rachel.
We're not going to take it anymore.
No.
So, you know, there are good things though. So the Safe Chemicals Act, which was introduced last year, you know, could become the first toxic chemical regulatory update in 40 years. That
operative phrase here could be.
Yeah, it could be. I mean, they've certainly tried over the years. Anyway, so that's a possibility. You know, California banned flame retardants last year. That's huge. I mean, I don't know how familiar you are with the flame retardant world.
And that it's on our kids' pajamas. I mean,
yeah.
It's like, so, really?
Yeah, so you know, the reason that it's huge that California banned it is California was the reason for flame retardants really in the first place. So when they started creating these laws that forced manufacturers of things that were foam-based to treat them with flame retardants, basically they... Because that was happening in California, the manufacturers nationwide said, okay, California is the hugest market that we have, so we're just going to manufacture for the entire nation with these flame retardants because we want to be able to ship everywhere and we don't want to have to exclude California. So when California banned them last year, that has a ripple effect for the entire nation.
Right, right.
And flame retardants are, you know, there's so many. I mean, actually, the Chicago Tribune, I think, did a great expose of flame retardants, but you know, the studies have shown that they don't protect us from fires. That's the horrible irony of this whole thing is they don't work. And the lobbyists who basically pushed that legislation through were lobbyists for the tobacco industry because they didn't want to have to mess with the process of manufacturing cigarettes and making them, you know, less flammable.
Right.
And so instead they created this legislation that said that everything in near a cigarette has to be flame retardant and they're not. So anyway, that's great news.
That's really great news. And this is not funny laughter. This is like, are you kidding me right now?
No, you know, plastic bags are getting banned everywhere. Los Angeles just became a couple of days ago, the biggest city in the nation to ban, biggest city in the nation to ban plastic bags. And, you know, just a little aside here, like, I don't really understand it because now I'm going into my stores and they're selling plastic bags for like $2.79. So that seems like a huge income stream to these stores. Why didn't they just embrace it?
I know people are writing about that. Why did they ban them? Now they're making money on them. So why was the food industry against them in the first place? If they had figured that out, they would have been in favor of the ban a long time ago.
I don't understand. So when I'm talking about this, you know, a lot of times I give the example of, you know, in terms of federal regulation and why, you know, yes, we vote with our dollars, but we also should continue to pay attention.
It's parallel tracks. It is. You got to pay attention to the other track too.
Exactly. So, you know, when basically they regulated lead and gas, which is why we have unleaded gas everywhere, in the 70s, our lead levels dropped nationally 90%, and our children's average IQ rose 5 points. So things like that where you can say, okay, the government regulated a toxic substance in our world on a national level, and, you know, a few years later, our children's IQ is going up. Like, that totally makes sense to me, you know? Another example is, like, seatbelt laws, you know? So seatbelts in the 80s, you know, everybody was like, I'm not going to put a seatbelt on. So they made people put seatbelts on, and now they save 10,000 lives a year.
And it goes back to being guardians of the nest. That's a really good, because the government can be good guardians of the the nest of the world too. So that's a really good example. It's what I call a goosebump example, protecting our children. Because maybe you're so dumb you don't want to wear a seatbelt, but at least put your child in it because you might save his or her life.
Yeah, and you know, in that way, you can look at these toxic chemicals that we're talking about, you know, maybe those are tomorrow's seatbelts. Who
right.
knows?
That's
you know,
a really
maybe
great analogy.
At a certain
yeah.
point soon, we will just, my kids don't know what it means to get in a car and not put on a seatbelt, you know?
No, it's
so
automatic.
Maybe,
I mean, everybody just buckles
yeah.
up.
Right. Maybe their kids won't know about cleaning products with poison labels on them.
I know.
You know,
that's,
maybe those won't exist.
Let's dream that world. Okay, we have to take another break. So we're going to be like after the show, we'll be scheduling the next show with Rachel Lincoln Sardoff. When we come back, let's talk a little bit about the shop drop challenge, why
sure.
you think it's important for people to actually take a pledge, mommies and daddies and parents and grandmothers, anybody who cares about our planet. And then if we have time, which is doubtful at this point, some of your a look into the personal thoughts of you and, you know, people that have made footprints and how are your children being raised versus how you were being raised. Stay here with me.
Join us for a new Mrs. Green's World episode every Saturday at 12 noon Arizona time at MrsGreensWorld.com. All of our past shows are available as on-demand podcasts at MrsGreensWorld.com. Listen on your computer or mobile device. Connect with us on Facebook, Twitter, Pinterest, and Instagram. Mrs. Green's World is a proud member of the Dream Vision 7 and Glimmerglass Radio Networks. If you have questions about the show, write to us at info@MrsGreensWorld.com. We'd love to hear from you. More Mrs. Green's World next.
Hi there, this is Mrs. Green. The 2013 VW Jetta TDI is the sedan people love to love. It comes with a zippy turbocharged diesel engine that's 90% cleaner burning than previous diesel engines, and it goes farther on a tank of gas than a Toyota Prius. Chapman Volkswagen has a great selection of Jetta TDIs, so choose yours today at ChapmanTucson.com or in person at 4646 East 22nd Street in Tucson.
Habitat for Humanity's Havistar is changing the world. By selling new and used building and home improvement materials to the public, the Havistar is diverting more than 250 tons from the landfill each year. To donate, call 520-889-7200. Stop by and shop today. The Havistar is located at 935 West Grant Road. Proceeds from all the sales go to Habitat for Humanity Tucson. For more information, go to HabitatTucson.org or call 520-889-7200.
Welcome back, everybody. You're listening to the Mrs. Green's World Radio Network, where we don't tell you what to think. We just want you to. And we're certainly giving you a lot to think about today. Wonderful guest, Rachel Lincoln Sarnoff, author of the blog Mommy Greenest. And don't let that fool you. She's Mommy Greenest, but she's not a sustainable-y. So you really want to check out what she has to say. She is the former CEO of Healthy Child, Healthy World. She was the editor of Children Magazine. She's been on the Today Show, on CNN News, and now Mrs. Green's World. And Rachel, we have to talk, if we have time, a little bit about what you're doing with Huffington Post. But let's recap for a minute. I had, you know, a minute to think. And you have for calls to action, people need to check out the big list of things that suck. It's available on Amazon.com for $2.99. It can be your own in-house Webster's Dictionary of toxins that might hurt you or make you sick. Is that a good way to put it?
Yeah, I think that's great. You should really be, you know, I can take a little snippet of that and send it around the web.
It's so true. I mean, it really is. And you have a pledge that you're asking people to sign. So let's talk about, we talked about food, toxins in the food, the power of the people for purchasing and also for getting legislation to pass. What about the shop drop challenge? Is that a good segue to go into that and how people can feel so overwhelmed and this is one thing you can tell them to do to make them feel like they're on the right path?
Yeah, absolutely. So this is actually, we're in the middle of the shop drop challenge right now. So, well, we're about a third of the way through. And this is, the way this came about is so for several years, I have been pretty much exclusively buying my clothes at thrift stores or swapping my clothes Have you ever done a swap? A clothing swap?
Absolutely and positively. I have a girlfriend that even arranges it according to sizes, which makes me happy because she's about a pencil thin, you know, you go sideways and she disappears. But she honors those that have more, more like Renaissance women, as I call myself.
Yes, I love
So
that.
I have been
awesome.
To clothing swaps and they're awesome. That's me.
They're so fun, right? So they're so fun. I mean, you basically, you know, all of us have things in our closets that are sitting there that we look at and we think like, why did I buy that? I'm never going to wear that. Or I wore that once, you know, or you were like a bridesmaid and there's a beautiful dress. You're never going to wear that dress again. So
even though the bride told you you would.
Yes. Even though the bride said you could dye it black.
Oh yeah. You'll be able to wear this again for sure. Never.
You're not going to. Anyway, so you put all that stuff in a bag and you usually somebody hosts at their house. There's actually a store here in Los Angeles called Gift Plus Take where I'm a member, and so I bring my
Hip
stuff there.
Plus
and
what?
Then Give Plus Take.
Oh
it's
my gosh.
GivePlusTake.com.
Yeah,
it's really fun if you ever get. Yeah, if you ever get out here to LA, you should definitely check it out.
I'm there about once every
anyway,
3 months. Okay.
Okay, so you know the idea is really to rather than buying new, and this goes back to kind of the conversation we were having about cotton and blah blah blah. You know, there's also a bigger conversation about the idea of fast fashion, which, you know, most of our clothes now are made in countries where people are not treated properly. Ugh. There's a lot of child slave labor that's going into those clothes, you know, and the, you know, the, what comes back to us is like, we can go to Target and buy a t-shirt for $5. But what we're maybe not thinking about is like the impact of, you know, manufacturing that t-shirt and where it came from and all of those things. So again, kind of a big picture, you know, piece there. But I've been thrifting and swapping my clothes, which means that I'm not buying anything new. And so I'm not supporting any industries that I don't really believe in. And also the side note to this is I could not afford the clothes that I have in a regular store.
Like, right, right.
You know, not in a million years could I afford, you know, the clothes that I find at a thrift store or at the swap. It's just, you know, it's so great because apparently people have far higher clothing budgets than
I
do.
I agree.
Yes. Yeah. So, you know, when I'm talking to my friends about like, you know, you have to go to the thrift store, you have to do the swap, you have to do this. And they're like, I could never do that, you know? And so I started looking into the numbers and what I found out just was astounding. So the average American woman buys $60 worth of clothes every month. And of course that's, you know, that's over the year. So maybe you're buying, you know, 200 one month and nothing another. I don't know. But anyway, so the average is $60 a month on clothes and accessories, and then throws away 6 pounds of textile waste every month. So really, it really speaks to that, you know, fast fashion idea. You're buying a, you know, something cheap and wearing it once and throwing it away. So those, you know, that 6 pounds is going into the landfill. So what I realized is there's 160 million women in America. If we all just stopped buying new clothes for 1 month, just 1 month, and I chose the month of January because,
right.
You know,
so everybody got everything they wanted in December.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally. So 1 month, we could save 1 billion pounds of textile waste from going into the landfill. So think about that, 1 billion pounds. And here's the kicker, $10 billion.
Oh my
so
God.
We could, you know, who doesn't want to save money in January, right? So I basically started this thing called the Shop Drop Challenge. You can sign up at mommygreenest.com. It's super easy. It's free. And it's basically a community of women who have pledged to thrift or swap their style for the month of January and not to buy anything new.
And, you know, Rachel, I do go to L.A. a lot. And I want to tell you, just our family was there. My husband and I were there because we have two daughters that live in L.A. And the day after Thanksgiving, we, of course, were not being a part of Black Friday or being a part of it, whatever, mm-hmm. You know, we weren't going. So the only stores we went to were Goodwills and Buffalo Exchanges and a couple of other haunts that my daughters know. And it not just feels good. It is so much more fun. I mean, it's, and I'm so proud that my daughters, my young, hip LA fashionistas, think the cool thing to do is to shop thrift stores. I mean, they do.
Yeah.
There wasn't even a thought of going to a mall. Thank God.
Well, and it's very different from, you know, I've shopped thrift stores like in high school. That was really all I shopped because, you know, again, when you don't have a lot of money to spend, but you
want to look good,
you know, that's the place to go. And actually my aunt, who's a huge role model for me, she's never shopped retail. She's always shopped thrift stores. And so, you know, and she's beautiful. She's, you know, so she was always a great example. So I've shopped throughout the years, definitely, but not exclusively as I have over the last couple of years.
Right.
And that was kind of a conscious decision. But I got to tell you, they are not like the thrift stores I remember from when I was in high school. I mean,
at all.
Right. The Wasteland in Hollywood, for example, or even like I've gone to Crossroads in Chicago. I've gone to places in New York. I've gone to thrift stores all across the country. They're merchandise just like regular, beautiful stores. You know, they're not stinky.
they're not dirty.
You know,
they're not dirty. No, they're not.
The clothes
it's very
are clean.
Different.
They reject clothes that, you know, they don't meet their standards. Some more than others. So anyway, yeah, it's been really fun. And it's also been really fun to kind of, you know, a lot of people that I know, you know, through social media or, you know, that I don't know in person, who said, like one friend I have on Facebook said, I'm not going to do this because I don't like other people's germs.
Oh.
And, you know, so we had a big conversation about, okay, here are the rules of thrift shopping. Like, A, you put it in a bag, you take it home, you put it right into your wash. Like, you don't wear something on the rack. You know,
you have to, which, by the way, you should do with new clothing too. I mean, really.
Yeah.
Because you might be washing some toxic chemicals off it.
Yes. But so she's now doing the Shop Drop Challenge with me. So, you know, that was a success story.
That is really, you have a convert. No, it is a success story. And it's one person at a time, one change at a time. I think that's a lot of your message.
Yeah. No, that's absolutely true. So, yeah, for all of you listeners, please, you know, go to mommygreenness.com, sign up. You just, you know, need to put your name and email in there. And it's been really fun. And the great thing is, like, you know, I'm posting things on Facebook. You know, I'm asking people. I still haven't seen this, but I'm hoping that people will start posting there. You know, what did you get at a thrift store? Like, what did you find? What are you wearing? What's your great score, you know, and post that because I want to see those things.
Mrs. Green posts it, and I go to some she events, and people say, oh, my gosh, that dress is so great. It's adorable. Where'd you get it? And I say, Goodwill. I mean, it's like you have to be proud and step into that. And they're like, you're kidding
totally.
Me. I'm like, nope, $7.99. Aren't you jealous?
Yeah. Feels
good.
You know, I think there's no stigma, you know, like,
nope.
You know, that's the thing. It's not a socioeconomic thing. And it is more fun. I think we've been conditioned, for the last maybe 20 years to kind of look the same, you know, like you go into a store and everything kind of looks the same and it's all the same thing and you find your size. So in a thrift store, it's more about like, oh, wow, look at this. And it's my size. You know, it's like there's only one of them there and it's yours. It's like it was meant for you.
It's so true.
You know?
Oh, my gosh,
so,
it's so true. And my husband is a much better shopper.
Your dresses. I want you to post a couple of them on my Facebook page, which is Mommy Greenest. I want to see.
Post some dresses.
Yeah.
Okay, so let's go into the let's talk a little bit while we have time. It's going to fly about your personal journey in terms of how are your children being raised versus how you were. Now, arguably, you are not typical in the way you were raised since your father was Native American Studies and you had an organic garden and you spoke to the plants. That did not happen in my life till much later. So what are your children experiencing versus what you are? How are you amping it up? Or is it just, you know, second nature to them?
Well, I think, you know, cleaners are a great example. Like when I was a kid, I thought the smell of fake pine and fake lemon was clean. And then it's true though, right? So
it
I'm
is.
Raising
pine
my
salt.
Kids. Yeah. They think the smell of vinegar, which really goes away after about 2 minutes, you know, they think that's clean. They don't associate a chemical, a fake smell with clean, which is something I think we learned to do, you know, over the last 30 or 40 years. So
You're
when
right.
I'm talking to people about cleaners, you know, I often say, don't, you know, maybe mommy doesn't know best in this case. Maybe grandma knows best, because our grandmothers, are, you know, our great grandmothers and grandmothers were all cleaning with vinegar, lemon juice, baking soda. That's pretty much it. You know, and that's what I clean with. I clean, actually, I don't even mess around with, you know, I clean with straight vinegar. I love the way it smells, and it totally gets everything clean. And then I use olive oil for my wood, and that's pretty much it.
And that's, I mean, it's a perfect segue to the, I don't know, you can expand more on what's going on with your children, but let's not forget to talk about the argument that greener is more expensive, because this is a really compelling example where clearly it's so much cheaper to buy a big thing of vinegar for 99 cents.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely. And, you know, and if you are so inclined to do the same kind of thing, like to use essential oils to make it your own or to personalize it in that way, you know, it's like, we have this big interest in sort of DIYing things, you know, making, you know, Pinterest is so huge with all the, you know, and Etsy and all the sort of make your own little things,
DIY.
Let's apply that to everything. Let's apply that to our cleaners. Let's apply that. You can do, I make my own perfume. You know, you can do a lot with things that are basically designed for cooking because they're safe to put into your body. Well, let's put those on in our homes and on our bodies as well.
And get our kids used to smelling those things, the natural smells. It's really important. And I don't want to go, this is circling back a little bit to earlier in the interview, but I had a doctor on, Dr. Jay Gordon, and I don't know if you know him, but he wrote a book called Preventing Autism. And Rachel, you know, I said it should be Preventing Autism, but everybody in the world should read this, because everything you're talking about, toxins in our food, in our environment, on our kids' clothing, it all does help prevent one of the fastest growing diagnoses in our planet, autism. Mm-hmm. And you talked about red dyes. And I wanted to make sure that I said that on air, because there's a thread to everything that you stand for in terms of being mommy greenest. It's a consciousness and a choice that we can make. So what else about your kids? Are they onto this? How are they liking the buy secondhand thing? Is that how they were raised? So they think it's cool.
So funny. Yeah. My 12-year-old really wants to go to the mall, but she will also come with me to a thrift store. So, you know, I mean, you have grown, you know,
that's
kids, young
so
adult
real.
Children, right? So
they want to,
you know,
go to the mall.
Yeah, but they eventually, it's going to wait itself out. And I think the same thing
does
with food. You know, they've always said, like, oh, more organic. Like, why do we have to have organic? You know, my little one, who really was raised that way from the beginning, because remember, like, a lot of this happened to me in the, you know, first year that she was born.
Right.
Sort of this awareness, you know, has been a part of my growing awareness, has really tracked with her growing person.
It's about the journey.
I mean,
it's great. It's a great analogy. Yes.
Yeah. She's much more, she's sort of more accepting of it from the get-go. But it's a process, you know, like with anything, it's really, you know, it's not all or nothing. And I think if you know, if your kids eat food dyes sometimes, we'll just try to balance it out by, you know, eating some fresh, healthy food. And other times, you know, like really, I think it's just about being conscious and trying to educate yourself as much as possible. And that's what I'm doing every day with Mommy Greenest. That's what I'm doing on the blog, and that's what I'm doing on the Facebook page and my Twitter, you know, Rachel L. Sarnoff. I mean, I post 4 and 5 times a day, different studies that come out, you know, the different, you know, different movements that are happening, different petitions that we can sign. You know, it shouldn't, I don't think learning about this stuff ever stops. It certainly hasn't stopped for me.
And it shouldn't be hard, and it can be fun. And you certainly do make it fun, because we want it to be. It's not this heavy, leaden, let's use that one, filled message. We have about a minute left. So let's talk about let's give a shout out again for your book, List of Big Things That Suck.
Big list
of things that suck.
Amazon.
Amazon.com. Rachel, It's Mommy Greenist is a great website. People, check it out. It will crack you up. You'll want to go down that green rabbit hole. And you will. It's just like, I just want it to click, click, click. And I think there are lots of people that will too. So thank you not only for being on Mrs. Green's World Show, but for what you're doing for the planet. We will be hashtagging Shop Drop Challenge for the show and for the podcast. And next week, everybody, we have another great guest taking a very different spin. I've met this man. His name is Ron Pernick. He's the founder and managing director of CleanTech, one of the global authorities on clean technology, something we all need to be aware of and be a part of that ever-changing world as well. Rachel, thanks so much. Let's stay in touch, and maybe someday our paths will cross when I come to L.A. How great would that be?
Yes, you have to go to the thrift store.
We will do a shopping thing and put it on Twitter. Okay, everybody,
Sounds good.
It a great green day and a great green week. Thanks for being a part of our world. Thanks, Rachel.
Thank you.